Hey, what up everyone? Derek here for another walk and talk. And today I'm actually in Guadalajara, in Jalisco, which is one state over from where I live in Michoacán, Morelia. Let me make sure I got the keys before I get locked up. Got the keys. Alright. And I'm headed to the market, so I figured, like, why not do a walk and talk with you guys a little bit. Shout out to the Guadalajara Freedom Cell. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to hang out with anybody, but just visiting for a few days while Miriam does a course out here, which she's excited to share about very soon. So, okay, I got to walk 9 blocks. Try to remember that. If I forget, I'll stop the tape and rewind. It's a Sunday, so it's pretty quiet out, but it's cool to see this. There's like, wow, big outdoor market, street vendors going on. I'm headed to a different market looking for some food. But anyways, let's get to the point. I got my notes today so I don't forget again what I'm talking about. First things, don't skip the solutions. This is funny, guys. In the last walk and talk video I did, about the first 8 minutes I talked about the Greater Reset 4 coming up in January 2023, thegreaterreset.org. I also touched on the Freedom Cell Network and, you know, our recent 10th International Freedom Cell call. And I had a few people comment saying the real information starts at 8 minutes or something like that. And what they meant by real information was me talking about the news, Bill Gates and things like that, which, yeah, that's part of the information, especially if you follow me for my journalism. But I just wanted to take a moment to say how annoying and frustrating it is when commenters say things like that, because it's like, not only are they wrong, bro, it's like the solutions, the real stuff, was the first couple minutes. You know, the solutions, the focus shouldn't be what's Bill Gates up to, what's, you know, the big wireless, although those stories are important, and I have a few stories to share today. The focus should be what can we do for ourselves. And I thought that those comments, which obviously they came from BitChute, we're so representative of where we're at as a quote-unquote movement, that people are obsessed with the problems, and many of you very rarely ever give any time in your life to solutions. So, for example, right now, there's this off-grid homesteading bundle going on that I'm partnering with Plant-Based Ben. You've probably seen it being promoted around. I've been promoting it. And pretty much there is an opportunity to get, like, hundreds of courses and webinars and workshops and ebooks for $50. Pretty good deal. $50. But some people will just see that and be like, oh great, Derek's trying to sell us something else. Not recognizing that, like, hey, yes, I am trying to sell you something. I'm an affiliate, so I'll get a little percentage from that, which helps me keep doing my work. But I'm promoting something that you could actually benefit from if you took the time to download it, print it, read it, put it in your family library, your Freedom Cell library, etc. So, I don't know, I just find that interesting that whenever someone presents solutions, I can do a, and I've said this for years, I've recognized this for whatever reason, the way that most of us consume content, and myself included to some degree. You know, we're drawn to the, oh my God, what's Trump up to? What's Biden up to? What's the transhumanism technocratic state up to? And then somebody's like, hey guys, here's a 10-minute video to show you how to grow food in your backyard, and here's a great solution. Here's how to communicate better with your wife and your loved ones and your family. Here's tips for healing your trauma. And some of us are drawn to that, but the vast majority of the audience will just basically skip it and say, nah, where's the real stuff, right? Let me skip to the news. So, yeah, it's annoying as a content creator, as an event coordinator, producer, and again, some people, they just hate and talk shit, and they're like, oh great, another event, people just talking, sitting around doing nothing. I get it. I've been to a lot of events, spoke at a lot of events over the years, and some of them are just that. They're big circle jerks, patting each other on the back. We got it all figured out, we're so much smarter. But that's not what the Greater Reset is. Greater Reset activation, it's about activating, motivating, inspiring people. Really taking concrete action. So every day of the event, we're not just talking COVID, debating this, what is the government up to? No, we're talking about what we can do in our lives when it comes to food, getting off big tech,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all I'll say. Focus on solutions. Assume everyone knows the problems. That's the mantra of the Freedom Cell Network. And if it wasn't for my journalism and my incessant desire to spread awareness, I would only talk about solutions. And then probably none of you would listen. Anyway, so let's talk about another topic that's coming up recently in the comments. Spotting a shill. I've had emails about this in the last couple weeks. People saying, Derek, what do you do to detect limited hangouts? Or how do you spot controlled opposition in a shill? And I'm going to give you my secret here, because so many of you asked me to comment on this and asked for my opinion. And it comes largely because, well, it started to happen after my conversation with Del Bigtree. Okay, I don't know what street this is. No, not the street yet. After my conversation with Del Bigtree, who a lot of you assume or believe is controlled opposition. And so people said, well, Derek, how do you spot controlled opposition? Here it is, guys. Are you ready? I don't. I don't waste my time trying to chase after everybody and say, this person's controlled opposition, this person's controlled opposition. Now, that doesn't mean that I trust everybody. Not by a big stretch. There's a lot of people I don't trust, including people I'm suspicious of, or I'm like, Alex Jones, he woke me up, but I don't trust him. David Icke, suspicious of, you know. There's certain people, and it's not just because, oh, they're so big, and then, you know, now it's like you can't trust them. I do think that there is something to be said for the size of a person's reach, their base, and how, you know, and how connected they are, and, you know, how suspicious you should be. But generally speaking, I don't go around wasting all my time trying to figure out who's controlled opposition. That doesn't mean I don't listen. Like, for example, a lot of you do send me articles and infos, especially about Dell, and you're like, look, this PDF proves he's controlled opposition. And I'll look at it, and there's, like, again, it's just a lot of, like, personal opinion and conjecture and guilt by association and stuff like that. It's not actual, like, evidence. But so, you know, my thoughts are that I'm not going to spend all my day and time, like, going around accusing people of being controlled opposition unless and until I feel like I actually have evidence. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to find a golden ticket or a document that says, here's Alex Jones' CIA card or something like that. But it also, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't have suspicions. I'm not trying to say, like, trust everybody. Don't question anything. You know, I think some people misinterpret it. No, what I'm saying is that for me personally, it's not really worth all my time and energy to just go around. Is Dell controlled opposition? Is Sayer G controlled opposition? Is Alex Jones? Is Robert F. Kennedy? I mean, the reality is nearly everybody I work with or have interviewed is someone who has been considered or accused of being controlled opposition. So, you know, at some point, either I'm going to have to stop working with everybody because everybody else out there on the internet thinks that, well, that person's a controlled opposition. But that's not really how I do my work. As I've said recently with Dell, like, I don't have to agree with somebody on everything in order to think it's worth working with them or collaborating with them. In fact, that's rarely the case that I agree with someone on everything on anywhere in my life, right? So knowing that, I work with people while I can trust them. And then if I start to be suspicious of their connections or who they're hanging out with or who they're funded by or whatever, then I'll stop hanging out with them. I'll stop talking to them. All right. Speaking of shills and gatekeepers, because again, I think there are shills. I do think there are gatekeepers. I just don't necessarily spend all my time walking around, or on my computer just trying to, you know, get to the bottom of that. If I feel like I have, like, a strong lead, like, hey, somebody sends me a PDF and it's on Alex Jones and I can look into it and I can say that, hey, look, back in the day, for those who remember this, Alex Jones and InfoWars were linked in the Stratfor documents showing that Alex Jones had hired an employee of Stratfor into InfoWars. And Stratfor, for those who don't know, was like a private intelligence firm that was exposed back in the day by hacker Jeremy Bockums. So sorry, I'm forgetting his name right now. This is, like, shows you how long I've been around. There was this hacker, big part of the anonymous movement, got caught, went to prison. Jeremy, can't remember it. Anyways, there are gatekeepers, there are shills and people like that. And one of those people who I tend to suspect is Bill Maher. For those who don't know, never heard of him, Bill Maher has been, you know, he's an old school liberal, right? He's not like a progressive who is pushing the transgender issue or things like that. He's definitely a guy, oh shit, he's definitely a guy who is what we would consider to be an old school liberal, you know, focused on civil liberties, free speech, things like that, right? And he disagrees a lot with identity politics. He disagreed with the COVID mandates, the mask mandates, the censoring of people, a lot of stuff, you know. So some of us would find his views to be at least acceptable, even if we didn't agree with everything. Well, Bill Maher hosts Politically Incorrect on HBO, and he also recently launched a podcast called Club Random, where he sits around with his celebrity friends and gets high and drinks and talks about stuff. So he ended up hosting Woody Harrelson just, you know, less than a week ago. And in the conversation, which is mildly entertaining if you want to watch it, I mean, there's some awkward, weird parts. But the most interesting thing I think you guys will enjoy is that Woody Harrelson brought up terrain theory. And actually, Bill Maher said that he believed in terrain theory, not to say that they don't believe in germs at all, or at least Bill Maher doesn't. I have a feeling Woody Harrelson might have a different view that he didn't say on the show. But they both seem to be aware of germ theory and terrain theory, and they're okay with that, and they think that should be discussed. Now, I will say this, because I'm going to play the clip real quick. Bill Maher and Woody Harrelson seem to be implying what I've been trying to ask, is that couldn't terrain theory, the idea that your terrain, your body, your biome affects whether or not you detox, get sick, and external pathogens, bacteria, fungi, viruses, whatever you want to call them, can also affect your body. You know, I've been trying to say, can it be both? And, you know, in fact, whenever the Baileys and Kaufman and Cowan did their response video to me and Dell, they sort of laughed at that idea. They're like, oh, what do you think? Can it be both? And they just basically dismissed it and said no. I think that's wrong. But anyway, so I'm going to play this quick clip. It's a few minutes, actually. So I'm going to play this few-minute clip from Woody Harrelson and Bill Maher, and then you decide what you think about it, and then I'll come back and we'll comment.
But see, this is the disparity. You know, like, there's the germ theory and there's the terrain theory. Right?
We've discussed this many times.
Well, you and I have, but we haven't discussed
this. You're right, sorry.
People
should know about that.
The germ theory, which was kind of foisted on the public by a gentleman named Louis Pasteur, who basically stole every good idea he never had from another guy named Antoine Béchamp. Béchamp believed in the terrain theory. Pasteur believed in the germ theory, right?
Can I just lay one bit of pipe here?
Yeah.
The germ theory, some people are going to think that means that they don't believe in germs. It's not that we don't believe it, that germs are real. We believe in germs are real. We just believe.
Well, okay.
Right.
But the germ theory is that, like, there's some, you know, Pasteur proclaimed that he knew this 1878 before the French Academy of Science. He says, I know that the every disease comes from these microbes that float through the air and just, like, land on your food or in your eyeball or something. The next thing you know, you're sick and maybe you die. And it enters, these germs enter a pristine body, basically, internally.
Well, they enter your body
But this is a part of the germ theory, that it's a pristine slate in there, and that these germs enter and they cause the havoc, okay? Well, this is the great thing about that. Now, this is the backbone of Western medicine, right? Including what is the culmination of vaccination.
Yeah, virus is more with vaccines, but yeah, well, can be both.
Germ is a virus, right? Same thing.
A germ, well, no, they're two different organisms.
Germs. No, they aren't. A germ is just a broader term, which viruses,
well,
microbes, pathogens.
Bacteria and viruses.
And bacteria. It all falls under the heading of germs,
but
right?
But it's like an antelope and a kitten. I mean, a germ is not a virus. I mean, a bacteria is not a virus. But it's important. Bacteria is not a virus, is it? There's two different organisms.
No, but they're all germs. Germs is just the broader term. It's the umbrella term for all of these things, all of these specific things you're
saying. I think
of
germs as bacteria. Like pathogens, I think, is the broader term for viruses.
Right, but I'm saying those are all under the umbrella of germs. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, people are going to think we've been smoking pot.
Well, we haven't. But anyway, yes, okay. I believe in the terrain theory. This is the main thing I want to get across. I believe in the terrain theory.
I do too.
Can I finish what I want to say? I don't want to interrupt your interruption, dude. Jeez. I mean, are those ears strictly ornamental? Ever use them?
Give me one second. Explain terrain theory. It's so important.
The terrain theory is that what is important is the internal biological terrain. That is what determines one's health. The internal cleanliness or the internal filth. That filth generally originates in the colon or in the, you know, in the large and small intestine. When you're talking, like what you said the other night about the obesity and the tendency to just eat like it's Thanksgiving, but all the time. By the way, I've been doing it for the last 2 months. I was like, boy, you broadsided me with that.
They didn't give me credit for at least opening the piece by saying, you know what, there are a couple of times a year when you can let yourself go. I'm not a crazy person. It's the summer. You're on vacation. Do it now. The holidays, I get it. But all year round, is it so fucking unreasonable, the things I'm asking for, honestly? But okay, can I make an analogy with terrain? Because I'm sure you've heard it too. It's like mosquitoes in a swamp. The terrain that Woody speaks of, that's the condition of your biome, how your condition of your metabolic state because of how you handle your lifestyle. That's it. And it can be shitty or it can be good. If it's not good, if you eat fucking Pop-Tarts all day or whatever, you're going to be a swamp. And the germs, pathogens, whatever you want to call them,
proliferate
in a swamp, the way mosquitoes proliferate in a swamp. Mosquitoes can't breed if there's no swamp to breed in. So if you keep your body in pretty good non-swampy state, you don't have to fear the pathogen so much, and you won't have to take these, you know, let's just say exterior as opposed to interior solutions. I mean, staying away from people and vaccines, and yeah, there is a place for all of this. But to me, if we handled it, there was no even a suggestion that we handle this internally by making our immune systems stronger, not just with diet, but, you know, some basic things you can do, like instead of locking yourself away, get some sun. I think they've done a lot of studies about vitamin D and how important it was when the people who had low levels, they were much more vulnerable to COVID. Why not tell people that? Can't you make money selling vitamin D? Is it that kind of, what's the worst that could happen?
But that's just it, man. There was only one thing, you know, ivermectin got made into a, you know, horse tranquilizer, a horse, whatever it is.
Which it is, but also used by humans.
It used by millions of humans. Hydroxychloroquine got made ridiculous. And there was only one thing that could work, and that's the vaccine, right?
Okay, so again, Bill Maher kind of all over the place. Not really the best interviewer. He keeps interrupting Woody Harrelson. Almost like he doesn't want to talk about it. But he lets him get to the point, and clearly Woody Harrelson has studied and knows his shit. And he's at least, you might not remember all the facts exactly when he's not in front of the computer, but you can tell he's done his research. So what do you guys think about that? You know, that could be pretty big. I mean, these are two big. This is a Hollywood star, Woody Harrelson, who, by the way, you know, he's already been long time known as like a weirdo because he posted about 5G conspiracies years ago because he smokes weed. You know, they kind of talk about him like he's a hippie redneck, you know. So I thought that was interesting, though, overall. And maybe those of you who are all about terrain, maybe you're grateful for this. Maybe you think they didn't go far enough. But what do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, for me, once again, I don't have to agree on every single thought or opinion to feel like, hey, that was a good conversation. Wow, that like brought in a new topic that most people have never heard, right? Now, I want to play you one more clip, though, because like I said, I think Bill Maher is a gatekeeper to some degree. For those of you who've been around for a while, you might remember that back in the day when 9/11 Truth was much bigger, Bill Maher was one of the people who went on the attack and basically was shaming anybody who dared question 9/11 and making them seem like they were crazy nut jobs.
Second Iraq War, after, you know...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, too.
When we were attacked not by Iraq, but then attacked Iraq in retaliation of the attack they never did against us.
Not to mention Afghanistan, which never did anything.
At least Bin Laden was in Afghanistan. You could kind of connect that dot a little.
Right. But well, that, you think that's the reason we attacked Afghanistan?
I think we should have gotten...
Didn't have to do with those pipelines to the Caspian Sea. The pipelines go right through Afghanistan. Anyway.
You think that's why we got into Afghanistan, to protect the pipelines?
Well, I think that that whole play is all about oil, you know?
Man, I don't know what's in these glove cigarettes, but it is working like a motherfucker.
Do you think that those are not?
Are you naive enough to think? You really think we went into?
Do you think we go into war for anything other than resources?
Yes,
or
I do.
Strategic.
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're going to go to World War II. Go ahead.
No, no, not just World War II. We do go to war for other reasons.
What do you think about Vietnam?
Okay, but this is much more apropos to what I was saying. This is kind of the thesis of the shock doctrine, which I think why I like that book so much, because it's saying kind of the opposite of what you're saying. Not that we always like purposely plan this. Industry plans this as a way to get... No, but when there is an opportunity, which comes up because life is a fucked up place and shit happens. Mm. Pandemics happen and other things, terrorism and from feuds that go back 1,000 years. You know, we went to Afghanistan because Bush is from Texas and you don't mess with Texas. And somebody attacked us and they tried to kill my daddy and we're going to kick some Texas ass. That's much more. Then he didn't need money.
You really think it was that?
Absolutely, it was that.
No,
it was.
Do you think presidents don't? But first of all, you don't become president unless you bow and kiss the ring, and you get told what to do in scenarios like that.
Okay. Well, you're talking.
Believe me.
And in fact, one time, Bill Maher got heckled on his show by a 9/11 truther. I think they were yelling like Building 7 or 9/11's inside job or something. I'll put the clip in here. And Bill Maher basically, you know, excitedly threw them out, right?
We'd be able to attack this very bad disease that's attacking us. We'd be able to attack it. So I think it's about domestic priorities, and I think we need to get the CDC working. We need to get the NIH working. Take that money from Iraq, put it here, and begin to fight that disease so people can live.
See, this is part of the Democrats.
I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah. Like I even, you know. Boy, sometimes here at CBS, I wish the sound wasn't working.
Jersey is going.
I didn't even know what that asshole was saying. Oh. But you know, this is the problem sometimes with government.
Hey, do we have some fucking security in this building? Or do I have to come over and pick this guy's ass out of here?
Could you get the fuck out of my building? Out! Jesus.
John.
They won't chant Jerry for you, though?
You know, is it that hard to throw somebody out of a building? I'll kick your ass out of here, too. Hey, this isn't the Iowa caucus, okay? It's not a debate. It's a debate between us. You're in the audience. Audience comes from the Latin, to listen. What's going on here?
Bill, I was only allowed 2 guests, so things should be okay after that.
No, it's great. No.
Anyway.
You have good friends.
Tell us what happened in Building 7, Bill.
That one's not mine.
Oh. This one is a gentleman. This government.
What's
that? Yeah, this is the problem with live television. I guess it gets around that if you're on live, then the nutcases. Yeah, and you are a nutcase, Building 7. Yeah. You know what that's all about? Of all the things I've said, and believe me, I've said a lot of things, as you all know, that could get my head on a block. The one that they protest about out here is the people who think that the World Trade Center was a controlled explosion. Yeah, you see, in that instance, I'm actually defending President Bush. I don't think President Bush brought down the World Trade Center. And cows disagree with me.
This is better than when I was on Kramer.
This is a...
And so remember that Bill Maher might be willing to question some of COVID, the mandates, the shots, and even terrain or germ theory, which I'm thankful for. But that doesn't mean he isn't there for a purpose. You know, the idea of a gatekeeper is that somebody that gives you partial truth and then they gatekeep. People start waking up and then maybe they stop at where Bill Maher's at because, or they, you know, they, oh, it's okay, Bill Maher's saying it, so it's okay to ask questions about these topics, but I'm not one of those crazy 9/11 conspiracy theorists. You see what I'm saying? How it can be like partial truth. This is what people refer to as a limited hangout. And again, do I spend all my time suspecting or questioning Bill Maher? Not at all. But I do not trust him fully. That doesn't mean I can't sit and watch a podcast and be entertained by it, but also in the back of my mind, keeping the fact that, like, you know, I can't fully trust this person. So just want to say that out there. Just because he, you know, talks about terrain, he questions the COVID shots and the mask mandates and some things that I think are good, doesn't mean he can't be playing the role of a gatekeeper when it comes to 9/11 and other things. Now, I'm about to walk into this market here. Let's see how long this video is so far, because I don't want it to be too long. 15 minutes? All right, I got time for a couple more stories. I just really don't want to be the guy walking around the market with this camera on my face. People are already looking at me funny. So I'm going to do one more walk on this block, and then I'm going into this market. All right, let's go this way. So there's a CDC study that has been published recently in the Lancet Journal, which further confirms that myocarditis is affecting young teenagers, and that the study specifically said that, like, in many cases, people have scarring months after they, you know, doing MRIs, they're able to detect scarring in their heart that seems to worsen over time. This would seem to indicate that the people who got the COVID shots are going to start dealing with worse heart conditions over time. Of course, we don't really know 100%. The CDC did acknowledge a causal link between the shots and myocarditis. This isn't them saying that, like, okay, the shots are making people have heart attacks. They never will say that. But it's like anybody who can read the tea leaves and the scientific papers can say, okay, there's clearly something going on here. It's just that nobody in a position of power like Fauci or elsewhere will step up to the plate and say it out loud, right? So we're counting on independent researchers and doctors to interpret the data and share it with us. And that's basically what's been going on the last 2 years. And of course, we're told, but those aren't the right doctors. Don't trust them. Facts are facts, though. So I'm going to, again, all the links, the Bill Maher thing, I'll show you guys that. The CDC study and these last two stories I have here will be linked below so you can share with people. Another important story that is criminally underreported is the dangers posed by cell phones. You know, I don't own a cell phone. Miriam has a cell phone. Doesn't mean I don't use a cell phone. I use a cell phone with her sometimes, but I don't have it in my pocket right now. I don't have it in my chest. I don't have it in my ass pocket or next to my head, anything like that. And anytime I do use cell phone, Miriam and I always use speakerphone. We keep it away from our head. You know, we unplug the Wi-Fi. We don't sleep near the stuff. Like, there's little things you can do to keep yourself safe. But again, in this topic, the mainstream totally says it's fake. There's nothing to be concerned about cell phones. It's all non-ionizing radiation. And anybody who did junior high science knows that non-ionizing means safe. It means it doesn't ionize your atoms. It means there's no other damage. This is false and has been proven and known since the very beginning of the wireless industry. in the 90s, and it's just been continuously being covered up. I documented all this in my documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse, which you can see at my website, theconsciousresistance.com. I also documented it further in the episode of The Pyramid of Power on Big Wireless. So we have scientists who've spoken out, just like with the COVID shots. We have studies that have shown that cell phones cause harm and EMFs cause harm, but it continues to be ignored. Finally, though, this lawsuit, this cell phone lawsuit, there's actually two of them. One of them is Murray versus, let's say Big Wireless. I can't remember the people they're going after. But one of them, the case of Murray versus Big Wireless, that case was filed in 2001, guys. It's taken 20 years. And apparently, supposedly, in coming weeks and months, there's going to be a new hearing and there might be progress. But think about that. The guy, Murray, the original guy who filed the lawsuit, he's dead now. He was this dude who was like a businessman using early cell phones and car phones and things and having it on his head all the time. And he developed brain tumors and he eventually died. But before he died, he filed this lawsuit. And it's taken 20 years to get anywhere. Think about that. The Big Wireless and the courts are fighting for 20 years to keep people from hearing about the real dangers of cell phones. And now we're at a point where it might actually get through. I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about that, right? But yeah, I mean, so if you're listening to this on a cell phone, guys, turn it off. Go watch on a computer safely, or at least keep this away from your body, your head. You know, use airplane mode, you know, all kinds of things. It's not even just like, you know, there's the privacy aspects of the phone. Shout out to abovephone.com for de-Googled phones. But there's also the health aspects that a lot of people don't consider. And we have to consider this in terms of Elon Musk's Starlink and all these new plans to put internet satellites around the world, which I used to think was going to be awesome. Like, this is going to help us defeat the government. We'll make sure that the internet never goes down. Now I'm a lot more concerned about what it means for our health. So, yeah. One other story. I put out a new article on the bioeconomy, which was published just in the last few days. For those of you who might have heard about the Biden executive order talking about bioeconomy, biomanufacturing, you've probably heard some people talking about it. As usual, you know, there's a lot of people that jump on a story right away. I like to step back and take my time. And so I wrote a 3,000-word article that explains to you what is bioeconomy, what is biomanufacturing, what does this have to do with, why did the Biden administration not only do an executive order, but now they named the new head to ARPA-H, which is basically like the health version of DARPA. All the DARPA is the people in the military who create all the crazy shit like robot dogs and human exoskeletons and stuff like that. Well, now they have ARPA-H, DARPA's sister agency, health agency, which is run by, now has been appointed the director, VP of Ginkgo Bioworks, this woman, Renee something, who's the VP of Ginkgo Bioworks, which is a company I wrote about and talked about last year, and warning you guys, pay attention to this company. And here you go, a year later, the head of Ginkgo Bioworks, or the VP of Ginkgo Bioworks, appointed to the head of ARPA-H, which is going to be an extremely important agency going forward. So, if you don't know anything about the bioeconomy, biomanufacturing, Ginkgo Bioworks, biotechnology, all this stuff, I encourage you to go read that article, because trust me, these terms are going to become much more normalized in the coming years, and it behooves you to know what's going on. You know, knowing what's going on doesn't mean you can stop it, per se, right? But let's say a year ago you did know what was going on and you started to, you know, research Ginkgo Bioworks and research what's going on, and you could see, oh my God, that they're pushing to biomanufacturing, transhumanism, technocracy. I need to get more food for my family. I need to get more prepared, right? I mean, there's steps you could take with an increased level of awareness. It's basically what I'm saying. All right, guys, I think that's been long enough, and about all the patience I have for walking around with a camera. People looking at me kind of funny. We're at 22 minutes. I'm going to put in the clip of Woody Harrelson, so it's probably going to be a 20, 25-minute video. And I'm going to go check out the market now. So let's go. I'll bring you guys with me. Now, this is what I was looking for.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
The veggies I was looking for.
Buenas tardes.
Hola, buen día.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien.
¿Qué vas a llevar? ¿Tienes
hongos? ¿Hongos? Sí, me queda ahí, está como la
bolsita. Perfecto. Eso es todo. That took a while to find the market with the veggies I wanted, but I found it. Now I'm headed home.